Pixel noir developer Sword Tech Games is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to talk about the Nindies presentation, or whatever you want to call that thing. We're going to talk about the new releases. Of course, we're going to enter the hype zone. We're going to play the Retro Game Club. All this on Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 39. Welcome, everyone, to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 39 for the week of March 26th, presented by ProvenGamer.com. For those of you that are new here to NDS Podcast, Andy and I, and some guests, which we do have some guests here, we'll go over that in a second. We go over the Nintendo news that you need to know about. We'll have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice. So go ahead, rate it, subscribe, do it. Give us a review, all that stuff. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/provengamer, just like our Patreon producer, Colton Nessler. Thank you very much, Colton. You were an excellent guest on last week's podcast. We cannot do this without you. You can be a part of the show by going to email us at nds@provengamer.com. But now let's get into the formal introductions. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Kunal Majumdar. See, I told you I was going to fuck it up.
Majumdar.
There you go, Majumdar.
Yeah.
Kunal Majumdar, the business and audio lead of Sword Tech Games. We also have Len Stewart. Thanks, Len. The co-owner of Sword Tech Games. How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Doing good, man.
Awesome.
See, Len, I knew it. I need to fuck it up.
Come on, the pressure was on, man.
Good.
To be fair, it's pretty nebulous, my name, so I totally get it. No worries.
I'm about as cultured as a piece of drywall, so you're there. That's all.
And about half as smart. Okay, moving on.
I'm taking the onus on that one. So this is Nintendo Dual Screens. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, for coming on the show. That we are a relatively new podcast, 39 episodes. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Your game, Pixel Noir, caught our attention, and we are definitely going to be talking about that as our lead story. But first, I want to know what you guys are playing right now. We're going to start with Len. Len, what have you been playing?
I've been playing my DS lately, and I've been playing two games. Zelda Breath of the Wild, of course, and Stardew Valley, which I just got my hands on last night.
I love that you called it the DS, even though it was the Switch. I love that you
I was going to say, is there a port that I wasn't aware of? If the DS can handle Breath of the Wild, then Nintendo is not really holding back.
Yeah, really. Yeah. On the Switch, I like what the hell is that game? Fuck, I fucked up the title already. Jeez.
You're gonna fit right in.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm like fucking up already. Great.
I love it.
I was actually thinking of. Really. I'll just keep going. Blah 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 blah. No. Anyway, go ahead.
No, what's the game? Now I'm curious. Can you describe it for us?
Oh, okay. It's basically where you're like this guy, Locke, and you go back in time, and it's an RPG, and that's the game I actually want to buy as the port or the DS. I forget the name.
Okay.
So the name kind of escapes me right now. Yeah.
What game is this? I'm just like,
I don't know. I'm
curious and confused at the same time.
Is this the Retro Game Club? Did we fall into the Retro Game Club?
I heard Locke and I started thinking Final Fantasy again. So
But who forgets Final Fantasy as a title?
I'll tell you what, Len, we'll come back to you. Kunal, what are you playing?
We'll give you time to Google it, yes.
I'm playing, first of all, thanks for having us on, guys. You guys are awesome. And congratulations on a fairly young podcast.
Thank you.
So I'm playing two games right now. Also, one is Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky, which I never played after it you know, so I don't have a Vita, but Len told me about it, like, and he's been raving about it for like years. I'm like, I gotta play this thing. And then the other one is Deus Ex Mankind Divided on PS4.
Ooh, oh, excellent choice.
They are both Deus Exes, the PS3 one and the PS4 one, are both in my backlog, my horrendously embarrassing backlog.
Did you play the original? Like the original Deus Ex?
No, I didn't. No. No.
Oh my God. It is such an incredible series, the whole thing, but. Yeah,
I know. I also have never played Kirby, so you know, I'm just a bad person all around. I know.
Speaking of games that I've been playing lately,
there you go, Andy.
Yes, I've been playing Kirby. I think all the fun puzzle pieces too, because I'm a completionist. It's one of my many faults that I have in life. And nice. I gave the game a glowing-ish review, which you can read on provengamer.com. But I played the game start to finish, the main campaign, in about an 8-hour sitting, in one sitting, and I did not die a single time, which I feel like the game can't be this easy. I don't understand. I remember Kirby games being not difficult, but at least having some sort of challenge.
Yeah, they're definitely tricky. Like,
why is it dumbed down so much? It's incredible.
Sounds like it's right up my alley.
Yes, it is. So don't delay. Kirby Star Allies out now for the Switch.
All right, Len,
BestBuy.com.
Len, let's go back to you because now I'm curious to know what this lock is doing in the time traveling world.
Actually, I actually playing Fire Emblem Warriors.
Okay.
For the DS right now, and that's like my game right now. I really like that. I was also playing 3D. Stardew Valley and Zelda the Breath of the Wild game for the DS.
The Fire Emblem series is so good.
I'm surprised I'm surprised you had time to get on this actually, podcast with those games.
Actually in the recent Fire Emblem games, the voice acting is like way better. Like they've been pretty cheesy in the past, but like now I can actually stand it.
Yeah, that's always a challenge for me with JRPGs. All right, so
yeah.
I am playing Earth Wars, which is a budget title on the Nintendo Switch, and it's actually really capturing my attention right now. I needed a hack and slash, don't think too much, but then if you want to, that has those RPG elements type thing. It looks like everything's hand drawn. It's really cool. If you have $5 or so, I would say give it a try. Earth Wars, pretty cool. It's got a deep leveling mechanic. It's got a pretty good weapon customization and armor customization mechanic. The levels you go back and you farm enemies for materials so that you can upgrade yourself and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. All right, so that's what I've been playing primarily, besides Monster Hunter, because I'm a sick loser.
Nice.
I put in so far, and I usually only play with Andy, which isn't very often, but I've put in 30 hours to do almost nothing in the game. I think I'm Hunter rank 10.
That's so embarrassing for 30 hours, dude. Yeah. I can't get over that. I taught you nothing.
Welcome to my life, Andy. I'm just a disappointment to everybody. All right, let's get into the releases of the week. This is the week of the 26th, as I said. So on the 27th, and there's no releases on the 26th, if you could believe it, we have Outlast 2 coming to the Switch. Outlast was a really terrifying game that I refuse to play any more than 5 minutes. I know, Andy, you're all about that life.
I love horror games, bro. You know me.
The Alliance Alive is coming to the 3DS. We have Warp Shift coming to the Switch. And then on the 29th, the big day, baby, big day. Woo! We got Bad Dudes. Johnny Turbo's Arcade Bad Dudes is coming to the Nintendo Switch for a cool $8. Can't go wrong with that. Streets of Red, Devil's Dare Deluxe. We have The Adventure of Bertram Fiddle, Episode 1, A Deadly Business. No clue what that is. We have Alteric. Shadowbug coming to the Switch as well. Tokitori, the first one, we reviewed Tokitori 2 Plus. And that's it. That's it for the week. So there you go. Oh, no, we also have, I'm sorry, down at the bottom here, on the first, we have Spartan coming as well to the Switch. They snuck that one in there.
So I'm excited about
that. Really good, actually. I was checking that out earlier.
Which one?
Spartan. It looks really good, actually.
Oh, yeah? What, do you, what is it?
I don't know. I only saw, like literally 10 seconds of it.
Well, hopefully you play more than 10 seconds of it. Not like me, who I give 15 seconds to a game and then I get bored. All right, so that's going to be the releases. We're going to get into the lead story, which is all about you guys. We want to know about Pixel Noir. First things first, I want you to tell the listeners who don't know what Pixel Noir is, what is Pixel Noir? We're going to start with Kunal.
Sure. Pixel Noir is a JRPG inspired, basically turn-based RPG, where you play as a detective, and essentially you're a private eye who's starting out with sort of cat lady cases and like falling up on lovers' crimes and really stupid crap like that. But there's a whole backstory of how you started out as a cop, and there was an event, we'll call it an event, that happened that essentially kicked you off the force, and then you're kind of just solving these crappy cases from a crappy apartment. When sort of something comes back into the story that helps you start to pick up some loose threads and piece together what happened in your past.
Sweet. Where did the idea come from?
Yep.
Len, I want to ask you that question. Where did the idea for this story and this type of game come from for you guys?
For me, it comes in that there wasn't any gritty RPGs in the market that when we started planning out the game, it felt like a lot of anime games and RPG genre that were kind of felt stagnant. So we wanted to kind of, it was a idea between me and Kunal that we would have more like of a city atmosphere of like Sin City meets Earthbound meets Final Fantasy VII, and in a world where it's everybody's kind of trying to outdo each other in like a city atmosphere.
No, I think we lost them.
Oh, I can fill in the blanks. Yeah, sorry. I think with the storm, it's a little crazy today.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the Northeast is getting absolutely hammered with snow, and we're all in the middle of it. And so we do apologize. It looks like we lost Len there for a minute. So we'll let Kunal take over from there until Len joins us back.
Yeah, and so Len was being pretty generous. I would say he was the brainchild behind the concept. We took a lot of inspiration, like you said, from like Midgar from Final Fantasy VII. That was like always something where we were really excited about the concept, and it felt like at the time Square had really not done anything to flesh that out into its own kind of game or concept itself. But there's a ton of other concepts where we were inspired by a lot of the mechanics in like Earthbound, Super Mario RPG, some of the classic like Final Fantasy VI and stuff like that. Along with like things like Sin City, and even like, I think Len took a lot of inspiration, since he's the creative director. He took a lot of inspiration from even like the city of Philadelphia. So I'm sure when he hops back on, he'd be happy to talk about that. But a lot of different inspirations. And we just...
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries.
Oh, he's back. There he is.
Oh, he's back.
Listen, this is podcasting. This is how we do things. These things are live. These are happening.
Live, uncensored, unedited, with all the fuck ups included.
So the first thing that I noticed first clicked in to and I was clicking around, obviously in an alpha, you have a Kickstarter beta happening right now. So I didn't get to play that, but the first thing I noticed when I jumped in was tone. It immediately In my house today, because of the snow, I had to stay home, so I wasn't at work, and my kids are running around. My daughter's crawling on the floor. My kid is running around watching Sing and Trolls and throwing things all over the house. But then I turn this game on, and I'm instantly, all of that turned off. All of it just shut off, and I was in this gritty, wet, like dark little world there. But also it had a nice little humor to it as well, as you're moving around, clicking around. But so to piggyback off what you were saying about the aesthetic, why did you settle on that? Why did you settle on this tone and this, aside from the fact that you hadn't seen it out there very much at all, what other reason why would you say that?
Because when I was making this, I had just come off of working in Philly for a place for about 3 years, and then they shut down. And then I was just kind of like walking the streets at night in Philly, checking out different things. And I kind of got the art inspiration for a lot of that. And I was like thinking, it would be cool to like make an RPG off of this, where like you could actually travel around as like, say, a detective, and have all these kind of weird stories and things like that happening in an RPG, rather than it just being part of like a side quest thing. It's kind of like part of like the main thing that's going on too,
Yeah, and it seems like
that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's and the way you're telling the story is almost like, it's almost less RPG and more point and click adventure. And then you have this RPG mechanic that kind of blends into it really seamlessly. I think that's one of the coolest things about Pixel Noir. It's what brought it to our on our radar, put it right up there at the top. And I know Andy and I were going back and forth for weeks. We were like, you have to see this thing. Check this out. Andy could speak more about that, because he took the ball when I showed him. He took the ball and he ran with it.
Oh yeah, I was like, let me email these guys right now and see who they are.
A lot of my earlier gaming experiences had been with like Curse of Monkey Island and point and click adventure games, like you're talking about. So I very much like kind of built that in to a little bit of like the fact finding and things that you need to figure out into cases, and having to move yourself through the game through figuring out things in different situations, and how you can maybe take the wrong path, but it can be the right path later on in the game, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Branching paths and whatnot.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was playing the alpha demo earlier today when I got back home from work, and what struck me most was I was getting this really familiar vibe, like a Parasite Eve vibe in a sense, which is weird because the game has no resemblance to that game's story or narrative. But something about how with the music and the detective, that cop kind of background, and I couldn't shake it for some reason. And then at the end of the demo, and I don't know if it's a big spoiler, but I'm guessing all your fans and your backers have already played up till this point, the detective has some sort of hallucination issues with him. He like sees things that aren't supposed to be there, apparently. And one of the enemies is like a monster to him. And I was like, oh, there's Parasite Eve right there. I wasn't wrong at all.
The mutant man.
So I want to ask you guys, like, because the way that when I was playing the demo, there was like a choice I had to make at some point. Can we look forward to a lot of branching paths in the game, like different endings, things that are based on like consequence-based actions and stuff like that, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. There's things that will affect. We have like 8 chapters in the game. So basically, like if you do something in chapter 2 for somebody, it may come back around in, in the later chapters that, this guy, you help this guy so you get this family's wealth or something like that. Or, we're trying to kind of like play it like dynamically like that. That's kind of how we really want to play things in our game.
Yeah, it's, when you have game, when you have projects that have so many branching paths, like one of the common stories you see with game developers is that they start out with this little ball of snow, and as they roll it down that hill, it becomes this massive boulder, and they don't know like what they should stop doing, what they should be doing. You know, they have this idea and it just keeps evolving, and then they can't keep up with it. So how do you make that decision when you're doing a story that does have different decisions that you can make, but you keep it kind of focused in a cone almost?
Well, you want to actually guide players, whether invisibly, in a general direction designer. So like, say that, you know, you start somebody at the beginning of a maze, you want them to, you know, interact with different stuff along that maze to get to the end. We've done that in the way that we've written the story dynamic. And we've also done that in the way that, towns or places in town are designed. So that's it kind of takes into account both things. But within that, you make sure that you don't add too many side quests or add too many of this or add too many of one thing. Otherwise, it gets pretty redundant for the player, I feel.
Right.
I don't know if that answered your question in that regard. Yeah, but I mean, we never...
Sure. Yeah, it absolutely does. It's more like the issue that we come up against with a lot of indie devs is like, there's that moment in the timeline of developing the game where they say, we have to stop. We can't keep adding to this. We have to make what we have and move on. I have friends in the industry that make games and stuff like that. And like the ideas just, you know, keep growing. So I was curious to know from that, because of how you were alluding to, you know, branching paths and making decisions and stuff like that. So I just wanted to see how far down the rabbit hole you guys actually went on that. But I want to switch gears a little bit. Kunal.
Sure.
Audio. So, you're the audio lead on this thing. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the first thing that happens is the tone is set, and I do have to say that the ambient noise and the music and all that really does help set the tone. Where did you find that? Like, did you design that, or did you find somebody to design that? And how did you come to that final resting place, as it were?
So I'm one of two composers on the project. And I would say doing a lot of the overworld stuff, a fair amount of the battle things and, you know, all the sound effects, etc. So the other composer on the project is Hiroki Kakuda from Secret of Mana fame and Soul Calibur and a bunch of games.
Hmm.
And so I think we've kind of established a really good sound where... It harkens back to some of your SNES classics. I take a lot of inspiration from Mitsuda, who wrote, among others, the Chrono Trigger soundtrack, and, Xenogears, and a bunch of stuff. And obviously, Nobuo Uematsu, and actually, you know, even Parasite Eve composer Yoko Shimomura. I played live with her a few years ago, and I had a chance to really kind of pick her brain and... just understand kind of what her mindset looked like. And of course, Secret of Mana was a huge inspiration to me growing up. So I think we're able to hopefully make that all kind of cohesive and distill it down into this kind of like detective police type soundtrack. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, gets lost in the conversation of a lot of games, like the sound usually. But like when you find those... sleuths, those people that really look for something like that, which the audience is out there, it definitely shows that a lot of love went into that sound design. So kudos to you guys. You really, and you know, nice name dropping, that was always nice to do.
Maybe, yeah, and the tunes, from what I gather from the demo, are really, really catchy. Like, I was humming them long after playing the game, And it takes a lot for a game to do that to
me. Yeah, I've noticed that.
To stick with you long after the experience is over. And again, that's a huge, like, congrats. Like, a lot of games can't do that nowadays. And you've excelled beyond expectation in that realm.
I appreciate that. And you haven't played the beta.
Has a knack for making.
the beta has even some more cool audio things going on where the audio design sort of intensifies, and then the final product will be even more, where we really took our time kind of putting in a true audio design into the game. It's not just kind of throwing music at it. It kind of is all orchestrated in a way.
It has a purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it all kind of works together. Yeah.
So you launched this campaign in 2015, correct? On Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, to the tune of, you know, your goal was about 30K, and then you guys doubled that funding goal. Got just over $60,000. So what was that like for you guys, seeing so much support from gamers out there for your project?
So this is actually our second Kickstarter. Our first one was, I think, 2 years or a year before that. But we had a fair amount of support from that Kickstarter. We hit about a third of our goal. And then we kind of were at a point where we're like, I don't know if we have the support we need to bring a game like this to life. And then Lynn and I kind of talked it over, and, you know, we had a moment of clarity where we're like, you know, let's just go for it. What do we got to lose? Which apparently we had a lot to lose. It was a lot of sleep that we lost because it was intense preparing for the second one. We rehauled everything. We made sure we had a working demo. But it was really great to see the community come out. The
first one compared to the second one was like totally different, because the one thing is that we were asking way too much and we were showing way too little of the game. We didn't even have a demo for the first one during the first Kickstarter. And then we were just like, yeah, maybe we need something for the second one for people to get their hands on before they say, hey, okay, I will give you this money because I actually got to see this thing.
It was amazing.
Even when, you know, friends of our, like, I have a friend that's a developer, and he's always thought about, hey, I want to do a Kickstarter, and it always comes down to, well, what can you show? Because if you can't show anything outside of just, you know, you talking about the game, it's hard to get the support for that game unless you're already an established name in the business.
That's right.
So, I mean, kudos to you guys going back at it and getting, you know, stepping back up to the plate, because it's not an easy thing to do. And so, yeah, my hat's off to you guys. So is your Kickstarter it's closed now, right? I just want to make sure.
Okay.
I don't know how long these things go. Okay. So, all right. So, listen, I've never kickstarted
it's an ongoing, like, 3-year campaign, Steven.
You never know. You never know. If they need to remake Mighty Number 9,
they only raise 60K in 3 years.
Well, no,
that's a bigger cause for
concern. I don't know if that was their goal. Maybe that's all it took. I don't know. What do I know? What am I, the police? I don't know these things.
You're not a detective, that's for sure.
Yeah, no. Oh, one of the other things. There, when you guys are done with Pixel Noir, you got to get on the phone with WB and you got to lock down that Batman license, because this would make a perfect Batman RPG. Are you kidding me?
Like, put it in the Batcave and you're Bruce Wayne, like, solving crimes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know what's really funny? In my log of things in research for making this game, I watched all the Batman movies, and I was like, "Yeah, this is kind of similar. It's kind of similar. If our detective somehow turned into like kind of some like a Cape Crusader, you know, but it, like all the detective-y stuff was there. I even watched the old ones from the 70s in that research. So yeah,
yeah, you got to wrap that up. You got to do it. So you are one of the independent developers in the world, but there are many others, and they have a select few have been chosen to be a part of Nintendo's latest Nindies showcase, which I want to get into. That's our second, I guess you could call it second lead story, if you will. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but there were a couple of gems there for us to talk about. Did you guys have a chance to take a look at the Nindies event that they had done yesterday?
Yeah, it was. There's some really inspiring games in the mix.
Which one was the most inspiring to you? We'll start there.
Ooh. Okay, there's a lot of good stuff. I was really into, I think it's called The Messenger, where it was switching between 16 and 8-bit art. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just really respect that. It's hard enough to do everything in one palette and one style.
Right.
But to have that back and forth, and I just thought it looked really, really slick. So that's the one I think I'm most interested in. But Mark of the Ninja, there's quite a few good ones in the mix. I don't know, Len, if you want to jump in at all.
Two stood out to me the best. I really liked West of Loathing. That seemed like something that was kind of up my alley. Yeah, the stick figure RPG in the West, you know, in the Wild West.
Definitely.
I really also liked Pool Panic because it's kind of I like pool. And it was kind of cool because they had different themes, like a woods theming pool or some kind of party theme. And you could play multiplayer, you could do a four-player thing. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and Adult Swim games makes a lot of really addictive, fun games. Adult Swim Games is doing Pool Panic. We mentioned The Messenger, which is like it almost looked like Ninja Gaiden, but like, and it switches between 8-bit and 16-bit, going back and forth in time, which is, it's a really cool mechanic. For me, and I know, Andy, I know what yours is, so I'm not going to stomp all over that. I know what your two are, actually, because you had just mentioned one earlier. But for me, West of Loathing looks hilarious. I can't wait to play that. But also, Banner Saga. They announced that Banner Saga 3 is going to come, but then they also said that 1 and 2 are coming.
1 and 2.
And this is something that I missed the first time around. And I've heard so many people talking about Banner Saga. And seeing it for really the first time after that, I did some digging and I wanted to look, and you know, I read some reviews and stuff like that. This game is unique in a way that I have never seen a game mix the art, the moving art with the gameplay like that. I haven't seen in a long time. So that really excites me quite a bit. Andy, what about you?
Well, you were saying unique gameplay and art style, and for Banner Saga, right? Because that's bomb chicken in a nutshell.
Oh my god!
That is, how can there be no love from any of you for bomb chicken?
I knew that you were gonna.
It is a chicken that poops out bomb.
That was really cool.
I do not fall in love with this idea.
I like the graphics for that game.
It's like a sprite based game. It's like Bomberman on the 2D playing field.
Yeah.
But you're a chicken that poops out bombs.
It's perfect. And
how about one that's kind of similar to that, just in the platform type of field? It's called Lightfall.
Yeah. Lightfall
would
kick my ass, so I'm going to stay as far away from that as possible. I am just not good at that type of game. That's an Andy as hell game, though.
Yes. I also want to say that, you know, they had some really good, strong titles on the showcase, but how could they leave out Hyper Light Drifter in the showcase? There was some random tweet after the fact from Nintendo's official Twitter. Like, oh yeah, by the way, this game is also going to come to the Switch. How is that not the forefront of the Nindies? Is my question.
Yeah, and imagine to the world. Imagine being the developers. I mean, I'd be really pissed. Like, what the fuck? Why is that happening there, you know?
I guess Mark of the Ninja had to get the... you know, the spotlight there. Yeah, I mean, the thing was only 12 minutes long.
5 years old.
Yeah. The thing was only, you know, 12 minutes long. They could have gone 15 and threw Hyper Light Drifter in there, but whatever. I digress. Luminous Remastered is also coming. Just Shapes and Beats, which looks like it's an epileptic seizure waiting to happen. Reigns, Kings, and Queens actually looks kind of interesting. I don't know if you you know, you saw, I mean, you said you watched it, so I'm assuming you did. But it looks like it's just basically you're a monarch and a bunch of townspeople or whatever come up to you and come to you with a problem. And you just try, you just answer their problem like yes or no. And like all these things have consequences. It looks pretty cool. It looks very basic. It's almost like a card game. I don't know. That might be on my radar as well. Fantasy Strike. What else do we got? Pode from Henchman and Goon.
Pode looks awesome too. That looks beautiful.
Yeah.
That's another one that will break my brain, I'm sure. I'm a simpleton, as you'll come to find. and Bad North was the the last one that they had, well, at least on this list, the last one.
Well, we could also add Pixel Noir to that list of indies on the Switch now, because you guys recently announced that you were ditching the 3DS port in favor of the Switch.
Woo!
Yeah, well, that's great.
That. Yes. Take that, Hyperlight Drifter. Suck it.
Boom. What?
Sucking an egg chicken bomb.
I do wish. I think, was it Bomb Chicken? Used,
oh, yeah.
I think they said that they described themselves as like a, what, a chicken platformer or something? Like a chicken based platformer, which
I mean,
is.
Listen, it's been a long time since they had a chicken based platformer.
You know, I do wish we had a catchy tagline like that.
A livestock based platformer, you know. We're gonna have like chickens and
Pixel Noir, because we're like edgy with pixels and detectives. There you go, there's your tagline.
We're about brooding detectives who are always hungover and have a Bruce Wayne complex.
It's a Scotch-based RPG.
There you go.
A love for Adam West.
There you go.
Love it. Speaking of coming to the Switch, Ark Survival Evolved has been announced as being ported over to the Switch. What are your thoughts on this? Because I know that this game has quite the player base, quite the following. This might be the system that I actually play the damn thing on. I know it's been pretty much everywhere. Andy, did you play Ark at all?
Are we doing the news right now, Steven? Is that what's going on?
We're flowing right into the news,
Mike. We're doing the news. The news report sponsored our new sponsor, Toys R Us, gentlemen.
No.
I don't want to grow up.
No.
Because maybe if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. Toys R Us, proud sponsor of the Nintendo News Report here on the NDS podcast.
Wow.
More places from my childhood.
That I'm destroyed
out by Amazon.
Burning flame.
Cheers.
Was it too soon for you guys? Too soon?
You're hurting
too
my
soon.
Soul.
Too soon.
All right. Proud sponsor of Funko Land.
Oh.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Oh. Anyway, we're going to move on.
The West Coast
then.
Video. Yes,
so Ark is coming to the Switch.
Yeah,
I have it on Steam. I played it for an hour. And that's all I got to say about that. It has a fan base, that's for sure.
That it does. THQ Nordic, the company that inexplicably took the name THQ, has made a little bit of an announcement. THQ Nordic and Nickelodeon are bringing back selected game titles from the past. Ooh, spooky. So they're bringing back Avatar, The Last Airbender, Back at the Barnyard, Cat Scratch, Danny Phantom, El Tigre, Invader Zim. Invader Zim was the shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. Jimmy Neutron, My Life as a Teenage Robot, Rocket Power, Rocko's Modern Life, also the shit. Rugrats, now we're talking my language. SpongeBob SquarePants, Attack and the Power of Juju, the Fairly Odd Parents, US only, so you know. The Ren and Stimpy Show and the Wild Thornberries. So yeah. There you go.
Oh man, Ren and Stimpy was such a great game.
It was.
But where's the Guts game? That's what I want to know. Where's Guts?
Where's the Are You Afraid of the Dark stuff?
Yes, I think THQ Nordic has no guts.
Do you have it? You have it. Do you have it? All right, that's going to bring us into the hype zone. And boy, wow. Gentlemen,
strap yourselves in. I know it's a storm out there, and you're already strapped in, but this is a big one.
Huge.
It's going to be huge.
The biggest
of the big. Bigger than Luigi's flaccid penis.
Bigger.
So wow.
Massive.
Big.
Give it
so
to me.
What appears to be a Banjo-Kazooie based Twitter handle called Banjo EXE.
Of course.
Tweeted to Phil Spencer at Xbox P3. Mm-hmm. Asked him, are you still willing to let Banjo and Kazooie appear in Smash Brothers? ?:, which is a smiley face, mm-hmm. in case you're wondering.
Right.
And then Phil responds back playfully, yep, period. Oh my God. Confirmed, guys. You heard it here first on the podcast. Banjo Kazooie are coming to Smash Bros.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is
a game that's not going to be a port at all, but a brand new Smash. We're going to get Banjo and Kazooie.
Banjo and Kazooie, they are presumably going to be played like the Pokemon. You're just going to swap between the two of them on the fly. It's basically confirmed at this point.
At this point, they've already confirmed Conker as well.
Yeah, Conker confirmed, Gex confirmed.
All of it.
Croc.
Gex.
We're going to get Battletoads, all the rare people.
Oh, we're Jeffers, doing rare
Gemini,
okay.
All of them are going to okay. be. Got Joanna Dark. All the rare family is coming to Smash Bros.
Right.
Confirmed. It's guys, your thoughts on this breaking news.
Wow, this is some big stuff. Okay, first of all, I'm really really terrible at Smash, so I'm not the best. I'm
just gonna raise my hand all, as well.
Yeah, this is pretty much all tongue in cheek for me.
Smash game. I actually haven't played a Smash game since the Nintendo 64 version.
Hold on a minute. Did you say you've never played a Smash game?
Not since the Nintendo 64.
Okay, version, I was going to say, because okay. Steven here okay. has not played a single Kirby game.
Never, not once in my life.
You may have bested him in that, but at least you've played a Smash game in your life at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
True.
I was going to say, shut it down, Steven.
If they had like JRPG characters in there, I would totally be down. Like, whatever happened to that square, like they had like Cloud and a whole bunch of people fighting each other?
Dissidia?
No, yeah, I'm talking about Urguys.
N2 or N7 or whatever it is.
N2. What was it called? Not Urguys. It's a different game.
Urguys. That's it.
Yes, it was Urguys, right?
Yep.
Well, yes. Cloud was in Super Smash Brothers, so, I mean, you had that. So. I don't know what else you need. I mean, beggars can't be choosers, and you're literally begging and choosing. So you might want to get over yourself. Okay.
Damn. Owned so badly. So badly.
All right. That takes us out of the hype zone.
We made it.
You can now allow your penises to go flaccid. We are.
Speak for yourself.
Glad you gave me permission.
It wasn't for you guys. It was for the listeners. I don't want them crashing their cars or getting into an awkward situation on public transportation. All right. So this is going to bring us into the Retro Game Club. The Retro Game Club is a little trivia game that we do. We give 10 clues to the other person. Usually just Andy and I playing. Sometimes we have guests. You will be playing with us this week, gentlemen. So last week's game that was Akari Warriors. Are you guys familiar with Akari Warriors?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I am not.
Okay, so we won't spend too much time, but Akari Warriors is like, at least to my knowledge, is the one that started it all with the vertical scrolling, aside from like 1942, was the one that started that vertical scrolling on the home consoles and stuff like that. And Andy was very upset that I picked this game for some reason. I guess it was the bane of his existence. Andy, did you tuck your controller across
the room? And I hate it now.
Why? Why do you hate it?
I don't like it at all.
Why?
It's garbage. It's an ugly garbage tier game.
It is ugly. I will give you that.
It's
but it's
made
not
worse
garbage.
By the fact that it has an Arnold Schwarzenegger starring movie with the same title.
Is it true?
He's getting smart. He's getting
it's
cheeky.
Not based on the movie in any way.
No.
It just happens to have the same exact name.
Right. Commando.
But it doesn't do favors by having a shitty action movie starring Schwarzenegger with the same exact name as this game.
I think that you're just hating because
the music isn't good.
You're
That's
trying
catchy.
I know what you're trying to do here. Because
what?
You have given me literally some of the shittiest games that were ever made on the NES, like Deadly Towers. You're trying to make me feel like I gave you a shitty game. And I know for a fact I did not give you a shitty game. Ikari Warriors.
You haven't seen shit yet, my friend.
Is a classic.
It's my turn this week.
So it is Andy's turn to give clues. And here's how it's going to work. Each of us, we're going to work as a team.
No, you're not.
Yes, but we're only going to get 3 guesses.
No.
No?
No. You called that audible last time.
Yeah.
This time.
And I lost horribly, so why would you?
Well, I'm going to say that our lovely guests are one team, and they're playing against you. All right?
Fine.
So how it works is, my friend, if you guess the game before Steven does, he gets 0 points, which is the goal of the game. That Steven gets 0 points.
It's happening.
That is the real goal of the Retro Game Club.
Andy is winning 30-12.
Oh, snap.
So the way it works is you get 10 clues. If you get it on the first clue, then you get 10 points. If you get it on the second clue, you get 9 points and so on and so forth. You only get 3 guesses to guess the game. After your 3 guesses, you're out. If you would like to ask a yes or no question, you can do so by forfeiting a guess. And that is how the Retro Game Club is played. So, Andy, go ahead. Give us our first clue.
All right. Just so we're clear, since our guests are one team, they have 3 as a whole guesses cumulatively. Yes. And you have also, Steve, on your own 3 guesses.
Yes.
All right. So let's begin with the first clue.
The first clue. Do it.
First clue. This role-playing game was developed and published by Square.
That is a long list.
It is. But be careful what I'm saying. Square.
Right.
Square.
So it's pre-1990 something.
You're in the right ballpark of time.
Yeah. Are we allowed to converse or no?
You can converse with each other.
If you want to converse, do it on a private channel so Steven doesn't get your feedback and your insight, because I feel like don't do him any favors.
Okay. All right.
I'm on Discord and have a little private chit chat.
Okay.
You can think out loud. It's fine. Totally fine.
There's like 900 games that it could be.
There are, but it's, you know, I've narrowed it down a little bit. You have a time frame. It's only Nintendo games. So we do from GameCube and backwards, more or less, during this segment.
Oh, okay. Well, so it's on Nintendo.
First Final Fantasy was... Was it?
Yeah, that was.
Listen, guys, you don't get a guess on the first shot. You can ask for more clues. That's how the game works. Don't be a hero.
Oh, is what I'm saying. give me another clue. I'll forward you a guess.
Steven, are you ready for another clue?
Yeah.
Are you
also
the same one?
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
This title is a sequel to a spin-off of a popular RPG franchise.
Okay. I'm going to ask a yes or no question.
Sure, shoot.
Is this on the Game Boy?
It is not on the Game Boy.
Mm.
I hate your mouth.
I know. I know. It is a sequel to a spin-off to a popular RPG franchise. Square. I was going to stress that point from before.
Huh. Sequel to a spinoff. And it was pre-1990s.
Well, it's pre-Square Enix is what the real,
right.
The real clue there is. Square had a lot of games in the 90s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the spin-off thing, Final Fantasy had a lot of spin-offs in the 80s and 90s. But I don't know how many of them got sequels.
I feel like Final Fantasy is maybe too obvious. And that's just a gut feeling.
But he may choose like one of those obscure Final Fantasy games that you know,
just based on Ikari Warriors. I'm just
yeah, I don't know where you pulled that one from. You're in a shop someday buying some games and you just came across it at random.
I mean, it's a classic, but it's like no, like three people have heard of it.
Yeah, me, you, and Steven.
Stop it.
I said we go one more clue deeper, but
okay.
Yeah, and then we have one guess. Dun, dun, dun.
No. Only if you ask a yes or no question do you lose a guess.
Just the point value diminishes as we go along with the clues. So you guys are still getting your three guesses, and you can still ask a yes or no question. So as we stand,
I got you. Okay.
Team Sword Tech Games has three guesses to go. Steven's down to two.
Thanks.
So just to review.
Uh-huh.
Square.
Uh-huh.
It is a sequel to a spinoff.
Right.
And it is not on the Game Boy.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
The game was praised for its unique Ring Command menu system.
Okay.
Ring Command menu system.
I'm gonna guess it now. Can I guess
it? Go for it, dude.
Secret of Mana?
Oh, Steven, they got it. Mm. Ooh. Mm.
Mm. Oh, that wasn't Square Enix? Oh,
no, that was a Square game.
Square, man.
Oh, shoot.
Square in 1993 released Secret of Mana, which was a sequel to the Mystic Quest or FF Adventure series.
Okay, so Mystic Quest was the one that came to my head, but I didn't know that Secret of Mana was a sequel to it.
Some reason I was thinking like NES, and so, oh man.
It doesn't matter, because you guys still won. You still won the game.
You still beat me, and he's still winning 30-12 because he's a jerk.
You know what I was going to do, Steven, is say that the soundtrack was composed by Hiroki Kakuta.
Yeah.
Which is, I chose this game just because that their composer also worked on Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
So yeah. I knew they would kind of get it.
This re-release came out, right?
Yeah, on PS4.
Yeah.
That
was a clue, too. Like, I was going to say it was released on iOS.
At least you picked a good game.
Yes, unlike Ikari Warriors.
Has anybody played that port yet?
The remake on PS4?
Yeah.
I heard it was kind of eh.
I played a little bit of it. I haven't gotten too far into it, to be honest. But
I heard that it doesn't do much in terms of reinventing the wheel for the game. It's basically a 3D-ified version of the SNES version, which is kind of a shame.
That's actually what they did with Final Fantasy Adventure and they put it on all the smartphones.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
And they kind of did it in the same way. And I just felt it was cheap.
I want to congratulate you guys on being the first guest on the show to win the Retro Game Club.
What?
Yes. We award you no points and you get no rewards. So.
No, they will get a special. I will have a signed copy of Ikari Warriors sent to their office. I'll have Steven sign this copy over to you guys with a sad face on it.
God, you're just a terrible
attached
person.
Attached to a suicide note.
It's going to be on a floppy, you know, right?
It's going to be on a...
All right, guys. So before we wrap up this whole show, a quick thing from me. So definitely a Pixel Noir. Check it out, all of our listeners out there. When can we expect this game, realistically?
We're updates.
There's no set release date yet.
Correct. Yeah, I don't think we're ready yet just to release a more specific date, but 2018 is about as we did have Q1 as release date, and then we decided to actually do a lot more detail to certain things. So we pulled back that timeline, and it's going to be 2018.
All right, I'm all for that. Listen, the more polished, the better, I say. And also, will you guys be at PAX East this year, or E3, for that matter?
No, we will not. It'll be the first year.
I'll buy you a beer.
It'll be the first year in a few that we're not there, so it'll be sad. But trust me, it's better. You want all of us at home working to get the game out into your hands this year. So,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: Will you be in New York the week of PAX East?
I won't.
Because they're in my neighborhood, they are having Geek Fest 2.0. Just saying, at a local hotel, it's going to be a blast. Anyway, that
sounds like a blast.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm so stoked for it.
The real party, guys. In case you're wondering,
Akari Warriors for everybody.
You get Akari Warriors, and you get Akari Warriors. Everybody gets Akari Warriors. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us on this episode, Nintendo Dual Screens episode 39. Real quickly before we go. Proven Gamer, we are looking for editors, so if you want to see your written content on the interwebs, please go to provengamer.com, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out an application. I have recently become the editor-in-chief of all the written content on the website, so please, I am looking for people to fill in some for some content. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing some really interesting stuff recently, so please go check out provengamer.com. Remember, Proven Gamer does have other podcasts you may be interested in, the Smart Marks. We have Trophy Whores, Game Stuff, and PG Spoilers. You can find them where you can find all podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio streams Trophy Whores and the Smart Marks. As always, we have a couple of sponsors that I just want to get out of the way real quick. Amazon, Amazon.com. We have ads on the website. If you click on any Amazon.com ad on Proven Gamer and do your shopping like normal, it helps keep the lights on over at Proven Gamer. So we do appreciate it greatly. We are also partnered with Humble Bundle and Extra Life. If you go to ProvenGamer.com and you click on the Extra Life banner, you can donate to our team, where we're raising money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. We also have, you probably hear my door opening. It's because my jerk cat just was clawing at the door. So I apologize for that. we're trying to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. And also Humble Bundle. If you click on our Humble Bundle link, any purchase made through there, a percentage also goes to our Extra Life page. So it really does make a difference for us. If you have Amazon Prime, please remember you have a Twitch Prime subscription, and you can give that to us at twitch.tv/provengamer. You could follow Andy and I on Twitter. I'm at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Where are you guys at?
At swdtechgames.com.
Booyah. And you can follow the show at NDS Podcast. Special thanks, as always, to you guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a blast. We had an absolute great time doing this with you guys.
Yeah, thank you. I miss both to come and go with us. It was a real treat. Thank you. Oh, my God.
My power didn't even go out. It was a miracle.
I know. Look at that.
Stay safe in the snow, and as always, special thanks to Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song 8-Bit Attacked. Special thanks to Dan Colonna for our logo, and special thanks to my cat Olivia, who is now nudging the laptop with her face.
Thanks Olivia.
Again, this has been Olivia. Nintendo Dual Screens episode 39 for the week of March 26th, and as always, be excellent to each other.